if you're taking notes, the wisdom walk, walking in love and light, because the encouragement this morning as we begin chapter 5 is just that. It's an encouragement to walk walk in wisdom, to walk in love, to walk in light, and it's profound. And part of that, part of walking in wisdom, mind you, some of you won't like this. But when have you known me to refrain, right? Some of walking in wisdom, of walking in love and walking in light, involves submitting. Submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ and making him first and foremost the Lord and Savior of our lives, and making him, allowing him to be the God of every area of your life, right? See, and we've talked about this before, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Jesus Christ, he doesn't force himself on anyone, yet he wants you to submit every area of your life to his lordship, that you would seek his light and his wisdom in that particular walk. It's also submitting to one another, to brothers and sisters in Christ, and in our marriage. And we won't cover the topic of marriage today. We'll talk about this more next week, perhaps, but soon. Submitting to each other in our marriage. And Paul says, wives, submit to your husband. And a lot of husbands, we're all like, that's right, submit. Oh, but we're going to learn what that truly means and what the role is for both the husband and the wife if we are going to, you know, participate in this wisdom walk, walking in love and light. But Paul begins chapter 5. He begins chapter 5 saying this: therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Therefore, and if you've been here, you know we've been looking at this really close. As far as Paul, he's used therefore, wherefore several times, and we always want to make sure we're figuring out what it's there for. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Well, if you just take a quick glance back at chapter 4, where we talked about walking in unity and certain spiritual gifts and the new man in Christ Jesus, or more recently, as we covered, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, do not sin. He spoke a lot about not grieving the Holy Spirit. And here he's saying, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Now, that's pretty heavy. Like, I know we can open our Bibles and we can just, look, we can throw this, we can open our Bibles and we can just look at this verse as, you know, sentence 1, verse 1 of chapter 5 that we're now studying, and therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and just kind of blow right past it as we often can do when reading Scripture. But just stop real quick and take a good close look at this real quick. Be imitators of God. Is that not a challenge for you like it is for me? You know what I mean? To imitate God, that is heavy. And I think that is absolutely a challenge for all of us. To imitate God Almighty. How you guys doing with that? Half the room's like, dude, I rock. The other half's like, man, I love grace, right? And we all do, and we all need grace, and that's extremely important. But let me remind you this morning, and just to get this point across, that we need to understand that In most things in life, including our spiritual walk, including trying to become closer with Christ, including trying to cultivate a prayer life, you ever notice that it's really difficult for some of you to pray? Like, it's just hard. Like, when you go to pray, like, everything blows up and it's so distracting, you can't find time to get away or break away and get quiet and pray. It seems like when you have every intention of praying, like, the gates of hell actually come against you and prevent you from praying, or you're most reluctant to pray. Like, you'll open the Word of God and you'll read like nobody's business, but to pray, to actually speak to God, to actually cry out, to actually get on your knees, it's a more difficult thing to pray. Well, guess what you have to do if you want to cultivate a prayer life? Pray. I know it's a crazy formula, right? But you have to actually do it. Like, there's no, you know, in a culture, and I've said this before, where there's an app for that, there's an app for everything. There is no app, there is no fast forward button, there's no shortcut to spiritual growth. There's no shortcut to you cultivating this powerful prayer life unless you actually pray, unless you actually do it and you give the Lord something to work with. Not that he can do anything he wants, but in an effort for you to grow closer to him, in an effort for you to be conformed more to the image of Jesus Christ who died for you, God brings us through circumstances and challenges and seasons that we would grow. And there's no growth without challenge. None. There's no, even in physical fitness, you want your muscles to grow. You've got to stress them. You've got to create those micro tears, and you've got to be conscious of diet, what you're putting in your body to actually repair those tears, which is what leads to muscle growth. Stress, circumstances, challenges, there's no growth without challenge. And listen, none of us will have it all together this side of eternity. So when we see this verse, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, none of us, it is true, this side of heaven, this side of eternity, like, that's a tall order, and we'll never have it all together here. But you know what? For a lot of us, that's a cop-out, right? That, what I mean is this. We all should be growing in our walk with Christ, growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I say that often, and that's a common topic of discussion here. And for those that maybe are tired of hearing that, this may not be the place for you, right? Because we are absolutely called to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Don't settle for mediocrity. Don't settle for not knowing him more today than you knew him yesterday. Because after all, Christianity is about following Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting today in our culture that the word Christian actually has such a broad term. It's thrown around and used, more often than it should. I think there's a grave difference between what our culture and our society will define as a Christian and what an actual Christ follower really is, right? To follow Jesus Christ, to truly follow him and to be a disciple, to be a learner of Jesus Christ, is the foundation and focus and the core of Christianity, right? Over time, we ought to be closer to Jesus and know him more. I was thinking about this the other day, and some of you will be amazed that my wife has put up with me for this long, but come July, her and I will be celebrating 23 years being married, right? Clap for her, pray for her, absolutely, right? Without question. But listen, I say that because I know my wife more now than the day that I said I do. Why? Because I spend time with her. Because I know what pushes her buttons. And some days I'm like, right? I share time with her. I know her voice. Over the last 23 years, because of the time we share with each other, I've gotten to know her more intimately, closer and closer and closer and closer. But here's the real question that I got to ask myself. And you ask yourself this question too. Do I truly know Jesus Christ better today than when I first confessed with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead? Do I know him more? Am I closer to him? Have we developed a more intimate relationship with him since that first day, the day of salvation? Or maybe even a better question to ask ourselves would be, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask myself, you guys do what you want, I'm going to ask myself this question through the lens of Scripture that we just read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, which says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Maybe we'll ask it together. When we look at all areas of our lives, when we look at our work, when we look at our relationships, whether it's our relationship with our children or grandchildren or spouse, when we look at our jobs, when we look at work and what we do to actually put food on the table, when we look at everything as a whole, even our hobbies, everything that we do, our life, our very being, when we look at everything, are we imitating God? Does my life, this is so heavy on my heart, man. There are so many people that don't know Christ. There are so many people that don't want to know him based on a false representation of who they think Jesus is based on the character they saw in somebody else. So for me, for you, for my life, for your life, for our lives, are we imitating God in all areas of life? Does my life look like a true representation of Jesus Christ? But again, we all fall short, but listen, is there even an attempt to honor God with our lives? Is there even an attempt to imitate him at all? You know, it's one thing for us to just wrestle with the flesh, and we mentioned that last week. Listen, it stinks, but that's not going away this side of heaven, right? We're always going to fall short. We're always going to wrestle with the flesh. But as we begin to cultivate that relationship with Christ, as we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, that will become more few and far between. And it's funny, as we mentioned, it starts here. So as you grow and as you're intentional about your spiritual growth, you'll begin to sense in a very real and a faster situation that thought that's popping into your head that essentially is going to give birth to other thoughts, that's going to be the very thought that leads to an activity that drives you further away from Christ. That will begin to happen faster and faster and faster to where, again, you're not sinless, but you will sin less because you're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? But is there any attempt at all to honor God with those various parts of our lives? Or is it, you know, as far as imitating him, is it like, well, you know, I've got, you know, this is my spiritual life and this is my work life, and you know, it's like you're living a double life type thing. Is there really, you know, any attempt at all? Is it, you know, I got this, or oh, grace, you know, Jesus died on the cross for my sins and so I'm just going to be forgiven. And that's true. And he did die for you, and your sins are forgiven. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them, right? But, and we've been talking about this as we started 2020 and the whole vision thing, and that's everywhere, right? It's being marketed like, I think they're selling everything, right? 2020. So maybe this is the year, or maybe this is the day where you literally have to fully surrender every area of your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ and truly, by his help alone, say, Lord, I want to imitate you in every way. I want every part of my life to be a proper representation of who you are. Help me by the power of your Holy Spirit. And he will. But what I don't want us to do is think that it's okay, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as the study goes on, but, you know, as Christ followers, like, I just don't want us to abuse the grace that's been given to us. And unfortunately, in our culture, that is a dynamic that is prevalent everywhere. Like, I can confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, and I can believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and then I'm just going to keep living my life the way I want to live, and grace covers it all. And Paul said, what do I do then? Do I keep sinning so that grace may abound? And he says, by all means, no. Right? Like, it's important that we understand the concept and the reality of repentance and turning and changing our mind and turning from sin that grace may abound. Right? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So imitate God, we got that part, tall order, right? As dear children. What's he mean by that? What does Paul mean? Well, it's interesting that, and for some of us, this is really, really good. And for some of us, and in certain ways, myself included, this can be really, really bad. Because children often act like their parents. I believe it was John Maxwell. I'm not certain on this, but I want to share this nice, catchy phrase. Just know that I didn't come up with it. It was someone else. I think it was John Maxwell. And he said this. He said, more is caught than taught. So in a culture that kind of is like, yeah, do as I say, not as I do, for parents, for spouses, for those in leadership and raising people up in any capacity, not really the motto you want to live by, right? But more is caught than taught. Children, especially younger kids, and what I'm noticing with my three, and some of it's not good, and we'll talk about coarse joking here in a bit, but, like, I'll mess around with Zachariah and say, man, I'm going to bust your lip, you know, and just joking, right? And that's okay. It's not like I'm cussing at the kid, right? So don't, you know, calm down, please. Don't throw stones yet, right? But it's another thing for me to hear Kylie go in and tell Z, hey, Z, I'm going to dribble your lips like a speed bag if you don't stop. I'm going to bust your lip, right? So it's just they more is caught than taught. They see what's happening, they act accordingly, right? So what does that mean? Well, here's the main point to get across with what Paul is stressing here. What he's trying to communicate is the fact that if we, or not if, but well, maybe it's if for you. If you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, then you're not a child of God. And maybe that's even the reason why you're sitting down and you're listening to me, or you're hearing this in whatever capacity, because he wants to welcome you into his family. In order to do that, we have to completely surrender to Jesus Christ as being the Lord and Savior of our lives, and know he paid the price on the cross for our sins. But if since we are children of God, we ought to imitate our Heavenly Father. And for some of you, that's like a difficult thing to digest. And I mentioned a little bit about something last week that was on my heart because, you know, I don't have a real good relationship with my family, with my parents. And the last thing I want to do, especially these last couple of years, is imitate the life of my father. And for some of you, it's the same deal. You're like, no thanks. No. But see, you are a, what did we learn last couple weeks? A new creature in Christ Jesus. You've been pulled from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, where your heavenly Father is the perfect example of who we can mimic our lives for. Right? And see, that's essentially the point that Paul is trying to make here to get across to these people in the church in Ephesus. Act like your daddy. Not your spiritual dad. Or your spiritual dad, your heavenly father, not your earthly father. Excuse me. And you know, I was scrolling through one of the social media platforms, and I came across this, what do you call it, a meme, or I don't know what it is, just something, right, that I read, and it stood out to me. And I'll tell you what, men, do me a favor and close your eyes. Nothing weird, I'm not going to hit you, right? I'm not going to give you a glass of Kool-Aid. Close your eyes real quick. Whether you have children or not, or whatever that looks like, just bear with me. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to envision that your daughter or your granddaughter is engaged to a man and is about to be married to a man exactly like you. Are you cool with that? You can open your eyes now. Are you good with that? When you look at the deep recesses of your heart and different areas of your life, are you absolutely okay with the fact that your daughter or granddaughter, or maybe you have a son and mom, you know, he's about to marry someone just like you. Are you cool with that? Very short and sweet. It was something I actually read. I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful, as I started to think about that. Am I okay with Hannah girl and Kylie, my baby, marrying a man like me? And it's a really powerful self-assessment that needs to be had. If you're not, then it's time to change. It's time to do something differently. Or let's just even take it one step farther for a mom and dad. If you're forget about the marriage thing. Let's just say this. You guys, I want you to think right now. If your child or your children, 1 or 40, if they grow up to be exact replicas of you, are you satisfied with that? Are you okay with that? Or are there some changes that you want to make in your life because more is caught than taught, right? Fortunately, as we've been studying Ephesians, you may have noticed already that Paul has never, he's never expressed a desire for the people in Ephesus to do something and then let them hang in. Like, he's always said, hey, this is who you are, now I want you to do this. Or if he, you know, if there was a specific area in their life that he was calling them to maybe tweak a little bit, he didn't just leave them hanging. He instructs them, right? He tells them an area of life that maybe needs to be changed a little bit, and then he provides that further instruction. And this morning, seriously, man, I throw this scripture around all the time. I'm going to do it again, and I'll do it tomorrow, maybe your next week. Listen, this morning, would you let the Word of God instruct you? It's one thing, we're all about being encouraged. And there are churches across this awesome country this morning where people are going in specifically for a motivational speech. And that's awesome. And the Word of God is powerful. And we ought to be encouraged, and we ought to be reminded of the love of God and that portrayed in giving Jesus Christ for the sacrifice of our sins. But would you also let it, are you okay with being corrected? Some of you, no. Are you, well, I'm just going to ask you, please, Let God's word correct you and teach you that we would all grow. And just a reminder, I'm going to share 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 and put it up. And I do this probably a couple times per quarter because this, we've got to understand this. Like, if you truly want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we've got to come to terms with the fact that grace and truth and all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, okay, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's just a reminder as we continue to study, you know, this section of scripture. You know, Paul, he encourages us in three areas of our walk, and we will not get to all three today, I can tell already. But three areas of our walk. And what a good reminder it is, really, that all scripture is all scripture, by the way. That's every part of what we have in front of us this morning, okay? A good reminder, as we are encouraged to imitate God, remember that God is love. Now, I'll share that you can throw the scripture up there. The 1 John 4:8 says this: He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God doesn't just possess love. He doesn't just muster up the ability to love you if you've not made as many mistakes as you have, so he doesn't love you. God is love. He loves you. There's nothing, the Bible says, that will ever separate you from his love. Okay? Nothing. So if you've ever been taught that in another if you've ever been taught that from anyone, anywhere, that you're beyond God's forgiveness, or you've messed up one too many times, or you're beyond the love of God, and that's true for other people, but just not for you because of who you are, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Resolve that in your mind right now. Take this in with your eyes. Remember that God is love, as mentioned in 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Listen, God is love. So, because of that, okay, because of that, because God is love, Paul says, walk in love. So that's the first area where Paul encourages us here. It has to do with walking in love. Look at 5:2. Well, remember, verse 1, chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, verse 2, and walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Sounds simple, right? Walk in love. You guys awake? Tell your neighbor, walk in love. Kirk, I didn't see you do it in the back, pal. Tell everybody, walk in love, man. Go. Walk in love. Listen, it's impossible to imitate God without first walking in love. And most of us don't have an issue with love unless we're dealing with a difficult person or a challenging circumstance. I know. Listen, Jesus Christ, and you know this, but be reminded this morning, he is the ultimate perfect example of not just love, but of a self-sacrificing love that the Bible is talking about here. And I want you to remember something, because Paul has just told us in the last couple verses of chapter 4. Well, take a look real quick at verses 31 and 32 of the last of chapter 4. He said, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, some of y'all highlight, circle something, forgiving one another. I'll back up. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, on one hand, Paul instructs us to watch out, okay? Don't be bitter. Don't be angry. We talked about the difference of a righteous anger and then an anger that festers and it turns into this bitterness and can turn to wrath. And anger, set a time limit, be done with it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, on your anger. Unfortunately, bitterness, unhealthy anger. These negative characteristics, these attitudes show their ugly faces in the body of Christ, okay, and among the members of God's family. And it's tragic, really, that malice, you know what malice is? It's having ill will towards somebody, right? It's a desire to do evil. It's having that ill will towards someone. Malice and anger and bitterness. But I want you to remember and truly focus on this last statement here. Forgiving one another even as God in Christ forgave you. See, God's will is that we would all forgive past wrongs and get along. It takes a special kind of love for that. A love like the Apostle Peter talked about in 1 Peter 4:8. He said, listen, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Why? For love will cover a multitude of sins. So we ought to listen. Some of you have got some bitterness and resentment in your heart, and it's affecting your spiritual growth. It's affecting what God wants to do in your life and through your life. Listen, don't misunderstand me. Nothing to do with your salvation. But that anger and that bitterness as it festers and grows, it's not healthy for you. And it's going to manifest itself in other areas and problems in your life. Like, you come to a place in a little while as we run to the Father. And please, do not leave here with that burden. And I don't know, maybe that's a work, like you've been praying for that and you can't let go of this anger, or you don't know where this is coming from, or this bitterness, and it's festering and it's there and it's just coming up at the most inopportune time. You need to leave that here. Lay that at the feet of Jesus Christ this morning, okay? And we ought to, because it's going to be difficult for you to walk in love if you're harboring that. So forgive others, and you got to come to terms with the whole pride issue you got going on, right? Like, do you need to be right, or do you want to be obedient? Because sometimes you can't have both. Like, you can be right and win the argument if you want, but what good is there in that? You know what I mean? So let it go, bring it to God, so that you may walk in love. And by the way, in here for sure, walk in love. But I suggest even more importantly out there, walk in love. You are never a better example of who Jesus Christ is to a lost world than when you walk in love, especially dealing with those that don't know Christ. And especially when you're getting the short end of the stick. Because a lot of us just want to speak up, exercise our rights, yada, 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 instead of walking in love and be. Can you imagine if Jesus Christ would have exercised his rights when he was walking the earth? We would all be hell bound, Like, he gave up his position so he would specifically take the punishment for our sin, that you and I would have eternal life. If he was like, hey, man, God, Father, this, he spit on me, I'm just going to take his head off. I mean, like, he, no. No. Walk in love. But again, pride is getting in the way. And I would encourage you to lay that down today as well. And if you don't think it's pride, guess what? It's pride. Sorry. I know. It's painful. It's painful. And this I'll say too, going back to my initial point, some of you have no problem whatsoever loving the person next to you.
Right.
Or loving your neighbor that's a Christ follower. But what about the undesirable? What about the marginalized? What about those that don't know Christ? What about your enemies? And I'll tell you, I was floored, not that I didn't know this, but just reminded in something that Jesus taught, and I'll share out of Luke with you, and you take this in, and will you allow the Word of God to correct you? It's not me. You can throw anything you want at me, that's okay. I'll take the burden if it's going to help you process this. But it's the Word of God. It's what it's designed to do. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Now watch. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Wow. Listen, walk in love. Love is selfless, and God is calling all of us, and we're all challenged this morning, I would hope. He is calling all of us to portray a selfless love in the middle of a very selfish culture, right? Because it's all about me, 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 I in a selfie generation. Like, that's just kind of the way it is. Why? So that we can represent Jesus, who, by the way, loved those that, and prayed for those that drove the nails through his hands and through his feet, that beat him beyond recognition. I wonder if you even realize the severity of that beating and why they would cover his head so that he couldn't see the punches as they were coming, so he could kind of cushion the blow a little bit. He didn't see it. He couldn't react. There was no reflex, and he was literally beaten beyond recognition, spit on, mocked. Amazing. And as Paul tells us, to imitate God, to walk in love, be reminded as much as Jesus, listen, he loved both his enemies and his friends. And look at verse 2 again real quick. And be reminded of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And then let me share this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And the very fact that he laid down his life, the very fact that he died for foes and friends, was a sweet smelling aroma. You can get into Leviticus and you can look at the different offerings that were made to God, and these were all a sweet smelling aroma. But see, Jesus Christ was the final offering, the spotless lamb to be sacrificed for sin once and for all. Without Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin. With him, all sin is cleansed by his blood. And what an ultimate example we see in Jesus. Walk in love. And verse 3 begins to contrast Paul. He begins to explain character and behavior unbecoming of a Christ follower. And he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. And you know, this is an interesting area of scripture because the encouragement here is essentially saying, don't get caught up in any of these sexual sins. Because fornication here is the word porneia, describing a sexual sin, or where we would get, you know, the word porn or pornography. Uncleanness is another word for dirty, or, you know, speaking of moral behaviors. And we'll see filthiness here in a minute, which has the same idea as uncleanness, while covetousness is an unhealthy desire for another's wealth or possession. But listen, in context here, and know this as we will transition and start to speak about marriage and what is, how is marriage defined, and the responsibility of husband and wife and all of that. But know what Paul is saying in context here. Don't desire another man and don't desire another woman. Sexual covetousness. Because see, in Paul's day, this was rampant, right? Like, it would not only, and take a step back, look at our culture. Does our culture teach that marriage is a man and a woman? Does it teach that, does our culture teach that we ought to not have premarital sex? Does it say that we ought not to live together until we're married? You know, and I've got people in my own immediate family that aren't listening to my advice on that situation, and it's very frustrating. But we're going to kind of get into that. But right here, due to the fact that this type of sexual behavior was not just permitted by the culture, but it was actually encouraged and celebrated, Paul is trying to tell these people in Ephesus, hey, have nothing to do with this kind of stuff. I understand what's going on and people are sleeping with everybody and it's a big party and all this stuff is happening, but let it not be so amongst you. Why is that? Well, we'll learn as we continue to move forward. If you look at the rest of chapter 5, we won't get to this today. Remember this. For you were once, this is not up on the screen, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, verse 8. And that's what we're learning to do. We're going to, over the next couple of weeks, draw from the application of what Paul is trying to instruct these people in Ephesus. We're going to pick this apart and we're going to look at the wisdom walk, to walk in love and walk in light, because without love and light, there is no wisdom. And even in our marriage and in our other relationships, if we're not walking in love and we're not walking in the light of God's word, because the word literally says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And we're gonna let the light of Scripture illuminate how God would want to lead us and guide us into the areas of life that he's calling us to walk through. There'll be no better study. It'll be amazing. And I want to stop there, and I want to pray. And you guys have heard this song before, and I'm going to play this song, but I don't know what else to say or how to plead with you other than to run to the Father. In whatever you're dealing with, in whatever you're walking through in life, and again, you might have everything going beautifully for you. You might be facing just an unrelenting medical issue that is challenging, that you need the healing power of God in your life, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You just need God's hand to touch you, because you know if you could just touch his garment, that you would be healed. And for that reason alone, you run to the Father as we play this song, run to the Father, and you would meditate in that. Or maybe it's as you're looking at even chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, you're thinking, dude, I can't do it. Like, I'm trying, but for whatever reason, I am wrestling so much with my flesh, and it seems like the enemy has such a grip over me, and this addiction or that addiction or this anger or this depression. Well, he is a way maker, and he is above every possible ailment, condition, whether it be mentally or physically. He is above all of it, and I would encourage you to run to the Father. Or maybe you're even in here and you truly, you're all about religion. Like, you're all about going to church and checking a box, and you're all about opening the Word. But you really have not given your heart to Jesus Christ. And if you were to leave this earth now, you would not be a member of the kingdom of light. You would still be stuck in the kingdom of darkness. And in this moment, you need to run to the Father and repent of your sin. And you need to say, Lord, like, I repent, and I just... Preacher man said, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I guarantee you, if you call out in the sincerity of your heart with those words just like that, you will be saved without question. And maybe that's what you got to do, is run to the Father. Like, I don't know what that is for you. I just know you need it. I know there are people in here that need to run to the Father right now. And I'm going to run with you.